260 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. Our guy, big boy, LaShawn Daniels Jr., running back while we were at the University of Iowa, joins the show. He is now in the podcast game. He's a father. He's doing some coaching. He's doing it all, and he's here to help break down the 2021 Hawkeyes, specifically the offensive side of the ball, where we're starting to struggle a little bit. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 260 of the podcast. And today we are back with a very good friend of mine and a personal friend of the podcast. I know that you guys are always looking for opportunities to hear from other people and not the three stupid assholes, or at least the two stupid assholes and one professional that host this podcast every week. But today we, our guy LaShawn, my guy LaShawn, the guy I blocked for and had the pleasure of blocking for a couple years, is with us on the podcast, a new Hawkeye podcaster, a new guy to the realm of podcasting. And we want to bring him on here, talk to him, have some fun, put some good bi-week content out, and give him a nice introduction to podcasting, man. So LaShawn, welcome back, and we're happy to have you, pal.
Yeah, man. Always a pleasure to talk with you guys. You know, always brings back great memories. So, you know, I'm excited to be here. I'm happy that you guys brought me on. So let's get rolling.
Drake Kulik, what is the first memory that pops into your mind?
Him breaking his leg.
Yeah, it's the same for me. Yeah, that's we lived with him for 4 years, and that's still the first memory that comes to mind.
Like it's just so vivid. And like every time I see someone like get hurt, I'm like, damn, like all I think about is Drake. I'm like,
I do remember what fun is. You were on the field for that play, right? And I just kind of like motioning over like right away.
LaShawn's reaction was hilarious, dude. He saw it and he goes,
"Bruh, dude's leg was like detached, bruh."
I know LaShawn doesn't play that game either. He's not about that type of stuff.
No, not about that life at all. And I see his leg. I'm like, oh my god, like this is really happening. And
oh my god, yep. we need a new fullback.
No, absolutely wild. But you know, Drake's been my guy, always my guy. You know, I can always count on my boy Drake. So you know, those are a couple of things that I always think of when I think of Drake. But yeah, definitely the broken leg, it's always something that comes up like top of mind.
You know, Drake recently dropped a line somewhat recently on the pod, LaShawn, that he'll What is it, Drake? You'll always
ride. I'll always talk shit.
Always talk shit. And always ride for his guys.
Yep.
Yep. That's. It's gonna be a T-shirt eventually, and we'll get you one of those.
Yeah, I'll need that.
Gravestone here.
LaShawn, your voice is great anyway. I mean, your voice is a better podcast radio voice than any three of ours. But with your setup now, you're sounding like a professional over there, man. What's going on?
So, I mean, so I had got like all this stuff because, you know, I'm a gamer. It's what I do in my free time. Like we're gamers, right? So, you know, I wanted to have like a quality mic, quality headset. So, you know, I can hear comms and whatnot. And you know, when I got asked to do podcasts, you know, everyone's like, oh, like, did you buy all this stuff for the podcast? Nah. It's just happen to have everything because I'm a gamer. love the game. Perfect. And it just happens to work for everything. So yeah, man, I mean, I like the setup. I mean, I got my PC right here, got the, you know, the professional mic, and then I got, you know, the jersey in the back. Like, that's the mood, like, perfectly.
Yeah. What's
how far into podcasting are you now, LaShawn?
Shoot, what? Since week one of what, the season? So, yeah, okay. So I do
about
that one.
And a half, 2 months.
Yeah. So I've been doing that one, you know, with Andrew Wade, who does with the Locked On Hawkeye stuff. And then I do another fun one with one of my buddies from high school, basically talking about the Chicago Bears, because you want a, you know, a friend to do it. And, you know, it's easy just to talk about football pretty much at any point in time.
And it's pretty easy when you're from that area. Not exactly, but it's closer to you than even Iowa is. Yeah. And you just so happen to know somebody pretty well that plays for them. So it's not a bad deal to be making content for your brother's team.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I actually am starting to enjoy making content, you know, a lot more. Like, I've always, like, appreciated and, you know, admired people who actually went out there and did it. Like, especially, like, you three just going out here and just taking the plunge and getting into content. And it's always something I've wanted to do, but just never, you know, really got the kick in the butt to do it. So when I did get asked to do it, I just figured, hey, might as well take this jump on it and, you know, get rolling right into it.
I feel like they come in when we're, you know, when you're in the program and every, it seems like every other month it's some striker rep in front of you, like Kevin saying, you know, medical sales is a great industry for former athletes. I honestly think that content creation may be just as good of an arena for competitive athletic people. Like they have skills physically. They've dealt with press. They know how to be on a microphone or in front of people, in front of cameras. Generally, in my experience, I feel like a lot of the guys that we played with are creative on a better than average level. So
yeah,
I don't know, man.
I agree with that. 100%. You got to think, you know, on game days, you know, we're in front of, you know, 70,000 people plus, right? I mean, unless we're playing in, you know, some crap stadium. So like, you know, you used to being in front of people, yeah. And, you know, having media, you know, multiple times a week, like talking to a mic and in front of a camera is just almost like natural at this point. Like when you've been in the program, for years and years and years. So just getting back in the swing of things and being on, obviously it takes a little bit, but like once you get back and rolling, it's just like, it's just natural. Like you're just having conversations,
yeah,
for having sure. fun. So
you're a dad. How's dad life?
It's fun. So little Cora is 2. She'll turn 3 in a week and a half, which is crazy.
You like, have a 3-year-old?
Yeah, dude? Which is crazy. Yeah. Like,
where has time gone?
Like, I still can't believe it. Like, literally every time someone asks me, he's like, you know, how old is Cora? I'm like, she's almost 3. I'm like, time literally flies by. And, you know, they're learning new things, like, every single day. And, you know, it's just so fun because obviously she's trying to like have conversations with us and she's really just speaking in circles, saying like the same thing like 10 times in a row. And she does this thing like, well, she'll keep saying something and pointing something out and basically wait for you to repeat what she says, to acknowledge what she says, because first off, she loves the attention.
Like, of course,
definitely soaks it all up. Anytime we go out to the store, you know, people are always like, oh, she's so cute, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she's just eating it up, trying to start up conversation and whatnot, which is great because, I mean, I've never really considered myself, you know, an outgoing person. I'm definitely an introvert at heart, but when I get more comfortable, you know, I definitely open up more. Her, she's like extrovert, like 100%. She'll go up, talk to anyone, random kids in the store, random adults, as long as she's with us, right? And we'll just have a blast at it. So that life is definitely fun. It's definitely a switch though. If you would have told me, you know, 3 years ago that, you know, or I 4 years ago, I was going to be a dad like this early, like I would have said, yeah, you're crazy. I can't see myself doing that. So
what do we got planned for the birthday party here?
Well, because it's, Halloween in like what, a week. So we're going to have like just a little get together. It'll just be, you know, some of Lauren's family. My family won't be able to make it, but it'll be some of Lauren's family. We'll dress up in Halloween costumes, you know, pass out candy.
There you go.
Nothing too crazy. And, you know, she'll get a whole bunch of gifts that she doesn't need.
Is she old enough to pick out her own costume yet?
Yeah. She picks out her own costume.
What she want to be?
So this year she wanted to be Minnie Mouse. Like, I don't know what, like, her obsession came of, like, a Minnie Mouse, but it was literally, like, just a few weeks ago. She's just like, I want to be Minnie Mouse. It was like, okay, fine. Like, literally never really talked about Minnie Mouse ever. It's not like she watches, like, Disney Channel or anything too crazy. So she must have seen something, like, at daycare or something and wanted to be like the other kids. So
just 4 years ago, like you said, we're in our final season. I can't remember because you had that. Nah.
So I was in 2017, I would have been a rookie.
Okay. You were still, okay. Yeah. I forget that you were,
he was actually good when he was 18.
Regardless, we're playing 4 years ago, right? All of us still in the game. 4 years later, what do you miss most about being an athlete and being on a team playing football? And what do you miss the least? What are you happy to not have to deal with now?
Definitely the thing I miss the most is being around like the guys and just chopping it up, having fun in the locker room, you know, boys. Playing with your boys. Yep. Like that's definitely like hands down, like the part like you miss.
It sucks to give up so bad, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, like no matter like what work you're doing or anything like that, like nothing, like you never get as close to those guys, like your coworkers or wherever your employment is, as you are with those guys that you are in the locker room with every single day.
Well, yeah. Cause I mean, if you're at your job at this day, you're just happen to be around two guys naked slap boxing each other, HR probably gets involved. So yeah, you're never going to be as close as that.
But when Jaleel and Faith are doing it in the back of the locker room, it's cool, man. It's cool.
Oh, that's great times, man. That's great times. But yeah, that's like hands down, like the thing that I miss the most. Obviously competing and stuff at a high level is fun, but I mean, you can do that pretty much at any time. Like even like, I mean, there's always like adult stuff, like competitive things you can get into, but
sure.
Yeah, definitely being around the boys is the thing you miss the most. What you got for me?
Are you into anything competitive these days? Like, you know, got CrossFit, Drake's doing jiu-jitsu. I had a little stint with powerlifting. I think that might be on the out here.
But or is it just gaming?
Well, it's been a lot of gaming that I've been doing personally, but I also coach football, high school football.
You coach?
Which I coach high school football. Which is fun. Granted, so our Streamwood High School, we're not very good. We're not very good at all.
Hey, bro, Muscatine is 0-7, bro.
All right, well, we're not that bad. but no, we're not very good. But it's been fun to coach and kind of like spread my knowledge and bring my competitiveness in another way, another arena, than it just being myself. You know, maybe eventually I'll get into, you know, doing like some rec basketball leagues or doing like some flag football or something like that.
Yeah.
But
you would like jiu-jitsu, bro. I'm telling you.
I don't know if I'm a combat sports person. I remember
jiu-jitsu is not combat, man. It's called the gentle art.
A gentle art.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, when you get good at jiu-jitsu, not where I'm at, but when you're actually good at jiu-jitsu, you can. Or when you're bad at jiu-jitsu, you see how gentle it can actually be, because they're simply using the techniques to beat you without even breaking a sweat. Like the good guys sometimes go through an entire practice without drinking water, and I've gone through a gallon before. So like it really is the gentle.
Okay, yeah, so I'll have to check that out. I'll have to look into it. I'm obviously, you know, I'm sure there's stuff nearby that I can check out for sure.
Uyghurs is right around the Chicago area doing it.
Uyghurs, really?
Hey, he looks pretty good, man. I've seen some videos of him rolling around. He's pretty smooth. We were just talking some technique this morning. I was DMing him back and forth. Uyghurs is pretty good.
All right, I'm gonna have to text him. All right, see what it's up to. But to come back to your question, Clover, about the things that I miss the least about, probably
meetings.
Meetings are ass. I mean, ass.
Like, come on, bro. How long did it really take for us? Why were we in there so long, bro? Us like, too. Like, why were we in there so long? We knew the protection.
like running back is one of those positions where it's like meetings should be very, very quick. Like, there's really not much for you to really go over, in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, you got to get the general idea of how defense is lining up. You got to understand why we check plays and where your blitz pickups are. But like after that, I mean, like there's really not much we do. I remember just thinking we would spend hours in there with Coach White just watching blitz pickups, watching third down. And you're just like,
sounds so bad.
You're just sitting there. And like obviously I get it's necessary. And obviously they don't want us messing around, because I know what it was like when we first got my freshman year. When we were in meetings for like 10 minutes and everyone used to be pissed off about us for having quick meetings.
I miss it, dude. My freshman camp as a fullback was like short meetings, man. We were in and out.
Yep, we were in and out.
Like specialists.
Yes. We would literally be in the locker room with you guys waiting for, you know, the horns and stuff to go off.
I can't relate because we literally never got out of a meeting room. When we watched like Sunday game film, we rarely made it past the end of the third quarter. My
God, that's not good.
Wow.
Yeah. That's bad.
LeSean, and then when you left and Brian became the running back coach in 2017, he was also the OC, obviously.
Yeah.
And so he would teach the running back stuff, and then he would start teaching the offense from his perspective. And so we were learning things that were like, which in the grand scheme of things was pretty cool now mm-hmm. that I have more knowledge than I would have.
Yep.
But I mean, Brian taught through the book at us in meetings for a year.
I love it. That's so funny. And that makes sense though. Whenever you hear the stories from the offensive linemen, when they used to say that he was there, when he was their coach, just basically just going off on anything that wasn't the play that they were looking at. So
unreal. Meetings were bad. I didn't have to really be in them. So it is what it is. And Kevin and Drake
what
still want to put a knife.
The least, LeSean.
You said what?
What period do you miss the least?
Practice period or what?
Yeah, a practice period.
That's a tough one. Well,
I know what my pick is. My two picks.
Well,
Drake, everyone knows it's 9-on-7 for you.
But the second one, I don't know if me and LeSean will agree on or not.
I'll tell you mine. It's when we're doing punt return drill or the 2-on-1 punt return, and DP is back there as the returner. That's my least favorite.
Yeah, 9-on-7 is always ass. It's always ass, and we just get smacked
for the time. We've said 9-on-7 a lot, and I don't know if we've ever explained it. What is one of you two explain? Any of you three? Yeah.
I mean, well, first off, like we run the exact same plays every single time. Defense cheats the reps every single time.
Maybe you should change up the plays, man. That's not our fault.
It's first team versus first team inside run period.
Right, and it's
yeah, and basically we run the same thing. We start off 23B. Then we'll run 16 or 17, right? And then we'll run 26, 27, and then we'll run 14 or 15. Literally the exact same order every single time.
Power, and then yep.
That's where my time to shine comes.
And then we'll go back to 24, and uh-huh. then we'll call it a day.
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, and here's the thing. My least favorite periods were back-to-back, and it was running back versus linebacker blitz pickup followed by 9-on-7. Like that is not a good day to be alive.
And the worst part about the one-on-ones, we never fucking did routes. We never would go routes. They would always want us to do blitz pickup. Like we never got to have the fun stuff and run like option routes and seam routes and stuff on the linebackers. Cause obviously we're going to win those every single time. They're just like, nah, you guys go up there. You line up every single day. I was knocking heads with Josie. Like I swear, I probably had like 100 concussions just from doing that alone.
The anxiety that I got going into that period, just like hating the fact that I was about to get shook at least one rep and I was going to get shit on in the meeting room because that's what that cocksucker liked to do.
So. And like Coach Ferentz, KF would always come over there like when we were doing it. Oh, yeah. And you're just
and
like,
Coach Doyle was always over there too. And he ripped my ass a couple times. Like I wasn't trying or something. Like I was just trying to get beat.
You're just like, dude.
Yeah, there's a few periods that Coach Ferentz just loved watching. That's one of them. He's always there at 9-on-7 and blocks too. Yep. And he also loves the DBs versus wide receivers blocks drill as well.
Mm-hmm.
You will always find him at those drills.
Drake, you just reminded me of Coach Doyle. He's the king of one-liners, and he would walk by after he just watched us do reps. Like we just took a few snaps. Keith kicks it through, whatever. He walked by and he'd just be like, Clove, you guys doing shit today? No? All right, cool. Just walk by. Hey, you guys do anything? You guys fucking doing any work? Doesn't look like it.
I remember one spring ball, he got fed up with you guys just standing around after punt period. And like, hey, you guys do agility drills.
He made us do agility during practice, bro.
No shot.
It was, oh, God. Unbelievable. Let's take a quick break. LeSean, this is a professional operation. There's ads and everything that get plugged into this thing. So we're going to take a quick little silence. We'll come back on the other side. And I've got a question for you. And we're back. Magic of editing. LaShawn Daniels in the house with us today. Former Iowa running back. Former just juiciest, buffest guy on the team.
Best biceps award 4 years running.
Yeah. Yep. I'm trying. I didn't wear sleeves tonight.
How many times were your biceps on the team poster?
All every year.
Probably every year. I know for a fact.
That is probably the one thing that I wanted more than anything, dude. I was in that bitch doing bicep curls every day trying to get my biceps on the poster, and I just had no prayer.
Yeah. Not with LaShawn on the team.
Yeah, I mean, it helped when I lost like 10 pounds going into my third year, my junior year. And then, like, I really was just cut up, like, arms looking shredded, abs on point, legs, quads, like, everything was just looking like a superstar athlete.
What was the initiative? Why did you lose 10 pounds? Whose idea was it? Was that a collective effort?
Yeah, so it was between mine and like the strength staff. And like, I kind of brought it up because I felt like, because I was like 230, 232 like my sophomore year. And I kind of feel like, yeah, the weight was good. And I still ran like pretty well. Like, I still like pretty good speed. But I felt like I could play at a lighter weight, be quicker, mm-hmm. and still be pretty much just as strong. And it really helped a lot. So going into like that third year, going into that third year, like my shuttle time dropped like 2/10. Probably, I mean, wow. Granted, I knew I was probably obviously running it technique wise a little bit better, but I just felt like way quicker, yeah. way faster. I just felt like I just moved better.
Almost as fast as me, huh?
Yeah, you were quick on that shuttle now. Yeah, real quick on the agility stuff. That was like the main reason, just to get more, you know, running back body-esque. And I probably could have played lighter. But, you know, I think the staff still wanted me to have like that really good power.
Right.
You know, on the frame. Because obviously like it fit my style a little bit more. But yeah, that was really the initiative to lose the weight. And obviously it helped a lot.
Cool.
So
the Drake mentioned how Brian would go over the running back stuff specifically, but then open up the playbook. I know you weren't there for this, but he would then open up the playbook as the offense as a whole. Mm-hmm. Now that you're in the game of, we like to call ourselves the noise now, right? We're the noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you're the noise with us, I would love your opinion on, because now that it's in season, everybody and their mom has an opinion on what the play call should be. Why are we running this play on third down? Why are we running this? How much deeper is and how much more complex is calling an offense, a college offense, than the average fan who's like, we got to run a different play? Like, what is the real gap there, in your opinion?
It's huge. Like, if I were to bring out my playbook, like, I still have, like I think my playbook from, like, freshman year. If I went and brought that out and gave it to Twitter and said, here, pick your favorite 10 plays and, you know, present it to the staff, right, that why you think they'll be successful, dudes wouldn't even be able to figure it out.
Make sure that you add what defense you're going to be beating and why you think that they're going to be playing that defense in that exact situation according to their tendencies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly. Like, there's so much stuff that goes into calling an offense than just, oh, let's just, you know, run Tyler Goodson on the outside every single play, right? Like, in theory, right, it sounds great. It sounds fantastic. But in reality, it doesn't work. Right.
And you hear that all the time. Like, he breaks one off for like 15 or 20. And mm-hmm. some guy from three rows back is like, every time, do it every time.
like the reason why those plays work, obviously everyone on offense is doing their job, but a lot of the times you catch the defense in the right, just at the right time, right? Knowing the down and distance, knowing the situation, and you know, won't know what they're going to bring, right? I mean, you got to remember, right, the staff is watching hours and hours on top of film, right? Like, on top of watching it with us, right, they spend a lot of their day doing the exact same thing, trying to figure out, okay, what plays have had success against them, against this look in the past on this tendency, what plays didn't have success, what plays do we have in our playbook that our guys run well that we can run you know, in a certain time and distance situation in the game. So to tell, you know, someone, like, I can't even really truly explain it.
It's
your average
Joe.
It's
that big of a gap that you can't even start to explain how.
Like,
I always thought, like, the fact that you got, like, reality, you have about 20 seconds to call your play. That's as soon as the ball is down, you got to figure down distance, what defense they're in, what personnel I want in the game, and then call your play.
Yeah, you literally have 20.
That's what I always thought was got to be, like, one of the hardest things. Like,
because
Phil is a great coach. He calls the same play half the time. We are in base defense half the time. So he doesn't have that same same challenge as the
other. Sometimes on Madden, sometimes the Madden play clock gets low on me, you know? I got the bird's eye view.
like stuff happens so fast, and like the staff obviously has to get the plays out there because you want to be able to, like, at least you want to get the play into the quarterback while there's at least, you know, 20 to 25 seconds on the clock. So then the quarterback can at least get the play in, and then they can get to the line of scrimmage with at least 15 seconds left on the clock. So the quarterback has time to make any pre-snap adjustments, you know, as needed. Right. So there's so much that goes in, and even trying to explain it as basic as possible is still really tough, especially if you don't have, you know, a base level of football knowledge and being in meeting rooms and having experience calling an offense and understanding why certain plays get called at certain times.
Which the Cheeto fingers don't. We call everybody.
That was a dope ass question, by the way. That was a good question by you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I think we're getting better at this whole podcasting thing. Maybe I can follow up with a decent question. Now
I have one after you.
Now that you're coaching, do you have any insights into the game of football or otherwise that you didn't have, you know, playing? Like, what's it like being on the other side of the
So first off, I understand why coaches get so pissed when their athletes don't do the exact don't do what they're coached, because you're like, I literally just showed you the exact same thing that you need to do, and then, like, the following play, you didn't do what I just showed you. Right?
Makes you understand why hats get tossed.
Now we know why Phil Parker drops the "you stupid motherfucker."
Yeah, exactly, because you go over things, you know, so many times, and, you know, as a player, like, you're not as quite as locked in, you know, all the time, and so, like, basic things will slip your mind, but, like, as a coach, you notice everything at all times, right? Whether they're the players that are in the game, whether they're, you know, players on the side, you know, looking at players who you don't even coach, right? You notice everything as a coach. And, you know, obviously, like, the biggest thing is, yeah, you get frustrated a lot when, you know, players don't do, you know, the thing that you just coach them to do. But on the flip side of that, it feels really good when you do coach it and you said, like, hey, this is exactly what's going to happen when you get this look. So if you do this, you know, X is going to happen. And then lo and behold, they go ahead and do that and good things happen, right? So that always feels good. But yeah, it's definitely interesting being on the other side, you know, especially, you know, coaching the offense, right? Because I obviously help with offense a lot, and I help with play calls. I'm not our OC, but I do help a lot of times, like, with play calls on certain looks and things like that. So it's definitely interesting being on the other side. But it's pretty fun, right? I mean, if you get the opportunity to coach some football or coach, you know, any high school sport, you're probably going to have a blast doing it. But once you get past the growing pains of figuring out, figuring out what makes your athletes tick, and figuring out a way for them to listen to you, you know, most of the time, then, you know, everything ends up being all right. So.
Love it. Do you go by Coach Daniels, or what do they call you?
Yeah, I tell him Coach Daniels. I didn't even tell him my first name. I don't even want to no personal relationships. Nah, I'm just Coach Daniels. And then you keep it pushing.
I like that. So back to the Hawks in particular, since you are a new Hawk podcaster and this is a Hawkeye podcast, I want to hear some pros and cons that you think of this team and what you think may be our issues.
Yeah. So, to start off for pros is obviously defense, right? Take out, you know, that rough game this past Saturday. And even with that game, right, the defense is still really the strongest part of the team. Between defense and special teams, those have been huge assets to the team, you know, up until this point. You know, obviously on defense, you have really good linebackers and you have a really good secondary who does a phenomenal job of creating turnovers, which is obviously a big part of the football game, because typically the team that wins the turnover battle is going to win a football game. And, you know, obviously the Hawks have been able to do that quite a bit this year. And then when you look at the special teams unit, you know, between Torrey and Caleb, right, obviously those guys are doing a great job kicking the football. Whether it's Torrey, you know, pinning, you know, opposing teams deep in their own end, or, you know, Caleb just doing a great job in making field goals, right? I mean, besides the one that he missed on, you know, Saturday, he's been pretty much automatic, right? So obviously
he's been automatic from bomb range. Mm-hmm. Like, he hit bomb straight between the center of the post.
Yeah, exactly, right? And, you know, when you have, you know, great defense and great special teams unit, it helps out the team so much, which is we've seen pretty much all the way throughout the year, you know, really leading up to this point. But then now when you look at some of the cons, obviously it's talked about every single day, you know, whether you're on Twitter, ESPN or whatever, anytime the Hawks are being brought up, it's always talking about offense, right? That's where the issues lie. And I think surprising to me has been really the play of the offensive line. It just hasn't.
We talked about it today on our Patreon special, dude. We went deep.
Drake and I actually found out why. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to me. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Go ahead, Cliff. You want me to explain or do you want?
In short, Drake and I went back and looked at the offensive line scholarship recruiting classes for the last 5 years. And we realized that, and this is, again, this is not to plug the Patreon, but if you want this full discussion, Drake and I talked for 50 minutes on offensive line recruiting specifically, patreon.com/WashingtonWalkOns. In short, between 17, 18, and 19, the classes that are seniors, juniors, and then you know, depending on red shirts or not, you're looking at third years. Between those three classes, we've had two hits. One of them doesn't play.
One of them's already in the NFL.
One of them's got a Super Bowl ring already. He's gone. Yep. Tristan was a part of that 17 class. Yep. Okay. Linderbaum is the other one. If you look at the other three, or how many, I think there was 10 guys.
Two for seven on scholarships between like 2 or 3 years.
It was in the 17 and 18 recruiting classes for scholarship alignment. There were seven guys between those two classes. Linderbaum and Wirfs were the only ones that panned out into anything. So like you're looking at your now senior and junior class and you have one guy, right? Yep. We have Shooter. He was a walk-on and he would probably be on the line regardless when he's healthy, because he's a good offensive line option.
Yep.
But that's two out of five. And right. Now we're relying on a first, second or third year to fill three out of the five positions. And in a developmental program, we need year three is when those guys, unless they're elite, like Lindy or Tristan, year three is when developmental O-linemen, or really for any matter, any position, start to get reps in garbage time. And then year four is when they really start to contribute, maybe become a starter, and year five is the senior year, right?
Yeah.
So
I would say, you know, defensive guy talking here, but I would say offensive line is probably arguably one of the hardest positions to transition from high school to college.
That's what Drake and I said too. Yep.
Because we talked about how at the high school level, an elite defensive end is very hard to come by. There's only a few guys in high school every year who could actually come over and be a very high producing defensive end at the college level. But almost every dude that's putting their hand in the ground is one of the freakiest dudes out on the field. And that's what a freshman has to block. And it's just like two completely different species of humans between most high school defensive linemen and Big Ten defensive ends.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really, really much, pretty much right on point. Because when you look at the line, right, you know, me and James were talking about this, you know, last week. I mean, he's like, obviously, like outside of Tyler, right? I mean, it's a young group. And, right. You know, when we've had over years past, right? You know, we have a lot of veteran guys that are on the offensive line that have actually played a lot of football. And that's part of the reason why, you know, we've had so much success, you know, over the years, because we've been able to develop those guys and, you know, transform them, you know, into really superstar linemen. Like, I mean, I always remember, you know, Coach Ferentz used to always bring up Brandon Sheriff and talk about, you know, when he was a young player, right? And even then, right, he wasn't the superstar that he ended up developing into, right, his junior and senior years, right? Because it takes time for an offensive lineman, no matter how talented they are, you know, as a young guy, to really learn how to be a successful offensive lineman, yeah, you know, at the Division I level, Power 5 conference level, in the Big Ten, right? Because you're going against guys that are going to be getting drafted and playing on Sundays for years and years to come. Yeah. I mean, that's hard for a young guy, for a high schooler, you know, coming to his freshman year, even, you know, second, even third year guys, right, to be able to block those guys. So, yeah, that's an issue that hasn't really been addressed as much, because, I mean, when we look at some of the recruiting classes, I know the focus a lot of times is always on the skill guys, because obviously you got to have good skill guys at all positions to really, you know, transform your team and take it to the next level. But everything always starts up front. And if, you know, you're not able to have, you know, a quality offensive line or quality defensive line, it makes everything else that much harder.
I would argue too, just, you know, the transition from high school to college, like it takes, I feel like, at least 2 years for most guys. You know, LaShawn, you're an exception here because you're a freak coming out of high school, but at least 2 years for most guys to get to the level of athleticism and physicality to really compete at a Big Ten level.
Yeah.
Like I didn't feel like I belonged on the field my first 2 years in college, and I didn't. That's why I wasn't on the field. But, you know, when I turned 20, you know, I was getting a little bigger, a little stronger, a little faster. You know, it takes time to develop that part of it too, not just, you know, the actual playing of the game.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going, Kevin. I can echo that.
Especially for offensive linemen too. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're undersized too, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, and quick self-deprecation, I was arguably never athletic enough to be on the field. I mean, we'll never know. I just fooled everybody for at least three years. In 2014,
you played a skill position in the fact that not that many people do it very successfully, right, and you were good at it. So,
yeah, 2014, when we were still running spread and I had to block, let's bury that film, huh? Because we had a lot of linebackers and DNs that were right by me. Hey, Connor, hope you get it off, because Tyler didn't block anybody. Offensive line, I mean, I think about a guy like Ike, right? Ike is an offensive lineman in all the coaches' eyes. He was a skill guy in high school, but they see him as an O-line. He's now playing for the Bills. He's in the league. But you got a lot of, you know, like Kevin said, there's occasionally a freak in the skill position where they're already, you know, maybe linemen are at the extreme of the body in football, right? They have so much weight. They weigh 50% more than some other players. When you're a DB or you're a wide receiver, if you've got a good physical body in high school, you might be 5 or 10 pounds away from playing in college. But if you're in high school and you're a good offensive lineman, shit, you might be 30 to 40 pounds away. And
could be. And there's also, you know, I think high school offensive linemen are getting too big these days, honestly.
They're
not strong enough for, like, you know, I see all these guys at like 310, 320. I'm like,
it's bad weight.
It's very rarely good weight. I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot of Tristan Wirfs out there in high school. And Tristan is one of those rare occasions where he was good enough to play his freshman year. Granted, he didn't start right away. He started the back half of the season due to injuries.
James too. Yeah. James.
Yeah, same with James.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those guys are rare, right? I mean, when it comes to having the right athleticism and the strength and the size, right, to be able to actually go out there and compete and block those guys. Like, I mean, I always bring up to James, like, when he got his first race where he played as a tackle when we were playing Illinois in 2015.
Which is so unfair, dude, because James was a center and they put him in as a freshman tackle. That was such – looking back on it, dude, like, knowing who James was as a recruit, I expected him to just, like – just have a seamless transition, because I was like, James is a freak, like he'll do it.
Yeah.
But like that's really not like reasonable thinking.
Yeah. He had to get his lunch eaten a little bit, you know.
Yep.
And I think even James would tell you, if we had him back on, and we will sometime, I think even James would tell you that though his athleticism was what was clearly ahead and game ready at the Division I level, even he had to he went through physical body changes to get even more athletic, right? He had a little bit of a sloppy weight on him too when he came in.
Yeah.
And so
I'll tell you what though, he had the biggest ass I've ever seen.
He's got a big ass.
Still does.
Got a big ass. But yeah, man, it's tough to get you physically ready. And then not only that, you ask a receiver to go run routes on and be a little bit physical, right? And play, go find a hole or just beat this guy down the field one-on-one. When you're talking about offensive line, you're talking about a unit where you really have to feel out some chemistry. And now you have to be working with, there's games going on. You got guys coming from right, maybe left. Am I sliding this way? Like it's a position where it's mentally and physically just so far ahead of where the high school level is, where it's just like, yeah, block the guy in front of you, you know? Oh shit. Okay. We got fucking guys.
You are true there though, but you know, as far as offensive linemen, you know, defenses can throw a lot of different looks at you.
Yeah.
Even when they have the look set, you know, guys are stunting, guys are coming, defensive linemen are dropping back into coverage.
Right.
I would say to predict what's going to happen might be one of the harder positions to play.
Yep.
But
if you guess, you're
fucked. This is one of my favorite KF stories. I don't think I've ever told you this though. It was a snack. We were having a snack before a game one night. This is junior year, maybe senior year. And me, Ben, and Josie were talking about, what do you think is the easiest position to come in and learn? And KF was kind of overheard us, kind of came by, and he's like, you know, what do you think an offensive tackle does 90% of the time? Just blocks the end, right? So maybe we're overthinking it. I don't know.
I would say that tackle is easier than guard or center.
Probably.
Physically, you need to be a different.
Mentally, yes. Physically, no.
Yeah. It's a different. It's just a different position, right?
Yep.
But yeah, you block the outside guy usually.
That story makes me miss KF so bad, man.
I can see it happening too.
Right there.
So funny. Yeah, I know he was probably just smiling while he said it to you.
What do you think the tackle does, huh? Just blocks in. And you know KF was snacking on that ice cream.
I was about to say, I'm so jealous of how many cups of that hotel ice cream KF's gotten to eat in his life.
Oh, every year.
Do you think he looks forward to the Friday night meal as much as we do?
Hell yeah.
That's the reason the meal is still what it is, bro, because KF fucking loves it.
Yeah. I've seen him drizzle that caramel on the ice cream, man. Come on.
You remember when the strength coaches were trying to take away our ice cream and KF said, fuck two, this is my program.
I told Mark, because Mark was a coach at that point. I said, Mark, I loved you as a teammate, but fuck you for this, because you're a part of this. And I don't like you as a coach, because I'm a long snapper. I could be conditioned by laying in bed all year long and still come out and snap. And I want my goddamn ice cream on Friday nights.
Hey man, there's something about, you know, feel good, play good.
Right.
Ice cream just makes you feel good. All right.
Yep.
100%. Yeah. Let's take another quick break. Then we'll bring it back. We are going to do Ward's winners tonight, but it's not going to be, don't worry. I'm going to pose questions. It's not going to be the same kind of, you don't need picks. We're going to talk it out together. But we'll bring it back in a second. And we're back. One more question I wanted to ask LaShawn before we let him go. And he probably has a screaming kid somewhere at this point running around the house. The woman is doing all the work. Running back, Tyler Goodson. He's pretty good. In your opinion, does he occasionally dance too much?
Yeah. So I actually talked about this a little bit over on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. Like, there are times where, obviously, like, his moves are phenomenal, right? He does a lot, you know, avoids a tackle in the backfield, right? And is able to do a fantastic move, you know, and creative explosive play out of it. Like one that comes to mind just from this year is when we were playing Maryland.
Yep.
And I think they ran like a draw play and he made the guy like miss twice. Phenomenal move. Just incredible
that
move.
That back step jump cut was dirty.
filthy. But then there's other times where it's like, you know, we're running like an outside zone play, which that's where it happens, I think, the most, right? We're running some type of outside zone, a slant play, and he does a lot of little pitter-pattering his feet, you know, waiting for something to open up. And then
does that come because he doesn't believe that they're going to get the reach?
Yes. Yes. Right. So it comes from, it definitely comes from both, right? I mean, you know, but as a running back, you have to know, like, hey, on plays like that, and knowing how our offense operates, taking a negative yards play might as well just kill a drive. Like, you might as well just punt right there. That's really how our offense has been this year whenever we take in a negative play.
They're yelling punt alert on the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, I know Tyler's a phenomenal player, does fantastic things in the open field. But there's times where he just needs to just, you know, stick that foot in the ground and get positive yards and get what he can. Yep. We saw him do that a little bit in the second quarter against Purdue, right? When we were able to get a little bit of momentum running the football. I think like really after like Ivory was in there for like an entire drive. I don't know what happened there, but he definitely, the next time he was out there, like had a mentality shift. Yeah. And, you know, was avoiding, you know, doing the dancing and focusing on getting positive yards. Because, I mean, again, like when you're dancing around so much in the backfield, it comes from, you know, obviously it feels like sometimes the line is not getting the jobs done. Right. So he's just doing what he knows how in his mind to go out there and make a play. But in turn, right, because he's thinking the offensive line is not going to do their job, it makes him, you know, change up and not do his job, yep, right, which then creates a negative play. So Tyler just has to continue to find, you know, that right balance of, you know, dancing around, right, and being able to create an explosive play, and then sometimes just sticking your foot in the ground, right, getting a little bit dirty, getting physical, getting positive yards, because anything is better than, you know, a tackle for loss.
I was even going to say, I'm okay with the dancing because I know that, you know, half the time, maybe 2/3 of the time, it's going to result in him making a guy miss. And then he is going to turn, he is going to do something that some guys just can't do. Right. But I think for some of the games this year, he's erred a little bit too much on too much dancing. And I think that's why we see Ivo, he gets that ball and he just runs that thing.
Yeah.
he hits the hole hard as hell.
Doesn't make no cut. He is gets the ball, goes right to where his landmark is, yep, and is hitting it at 100 miles per hour, which I love, right? I mean, you know, he's not the biggest guy, but he knows that if he uses his speed, right, he's going to be able to generate power and be able to get there through the hole and break a couple tackles and create a positive run, which I love, you know, seeing from him.
Right.
So, but yeah, you make a great point, right, where Tyler, right, there are times where he does all that and creates an explosive play out of it, mm-hmm, which is great, right? Our team needs explosive plays. It's something that we're missing a lot of on the offensive side of the football. And I think the offense knows that, and Tyler knows that, and he's just doing what he can to create that. But again, I feel like he's doing it sometimes a little bit too much, right? And he's just got to figure it out. You know, where's that medium at, right? So,
We'll move on to some picks. We do Ward's winners around here, LaShawn. It's a little play on words. We do some
LaShawn betting. Makes a damn good football analyst, by the way.
He does.
The guy is good at what he's
right.
He can make a good podcast.
Well, that's why we had him on the show. I want to showcase some talent. And I'm going to ask him one more question. You're talking about explosive plays, LaShawn. Due to the line not being, you know, up to snuff, you know, maybe up to the standard of a regular or what we would prefer at the O-line. The coaches knowing that, the coaches seeing what that does to Tyler, what that does to Spencer in their timing. In your opinion, how much does that affect Brian calling plays that maybe take more time to develop, but would be more explosive, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that's where I've had, you know, I'm not a big person that calls out play calling, you know, too often, but there are some times where we have run into issues like that, right? I know that we want to obviously stretch the field, right, as much as possible, right? We got some guys out there on the outside that can run, right? We got, you know, Keegan Johnson can run, Charlie Jones can run really well, right? Those guys are really good at, you know, blowing by defenders. And, but to be able to get them in those plays, right, we're going to need, you know, longer developing plays. But unfortunately, you know, right now we're not able to execute those, you know, really well because we can't hold up, you know, in pass protection side, right? And then, so now we have to focus on, you know, whether we're doing max type of protections or we're doing play actions and we're keeping tight ends in, we're keeping running backs in, or if we are, you know, running out of plays out of shotgun, right now running backs have to focus on helping offensive line. They have to do chipping defensive ends and they can't get out and run free release routes and get out there and, you know, do the things that they do best by beating linebackers in man coverage, beating safeties in man coverage and creating those explosive plays. And it really hampers the offense. I feel like it hampers Brian as a play caller because it limits them and what they can do. Right. And then as we see, right, when we get behind and we have to start doing those things, right, and start passing the ball more and having to create more explosive plays by having plays that take longer to develop, that's when more our issues arise because we're getting away from what we're used to doing. And the offensive line is just not there to be able to, you know, hold up long enough to get those guys, you know, in space and be able to create those explosive plays. So it's.
And if our offense gets stuck in past predictable situations, we're sitting ducks.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, and it's not necessarily like it's not a knock on, you know, the receivers and things like that. But right now, I feel like we're struggling right now a little bit in winning on man-to-man coverage. Yep. And, you know, beating guys where we know it's just, you know, one-on-one, we have our route and we got to create separation to give, you know, Spencer a place to throw the football. Because right, teams are doing a great job of helping keeping the running backs in and doing a great job on, you know, bracketing LaPorta a lot. So he can't just, you know, run all willy nilly. Right. So now they're forcing, you know, Spencer to make these throws on, you know, routes that take longer to develop. And, you know, the receivers, you know, haven't been able to, you know, create that separation that we know that they're able to do so. But so I always point out, you know, Keegan Johnson, because he's done a great job in the reps that he has gotten and winning in man-to-man coverage. Charlie Jones has done a great job in winning in man-to-man coverage as well. But, you know, it's not a consistent thing, you know, from the group as a whole. So that's where the issues kind of arise, because now we're missing a lot on these explosive plays because, you know, guys aren't able to create separation. Line's not able to hold up. And now you're forcing, you know, Spencer to make tough throws, which we, as we've seen, we know that that's not where he's comfortable, you know, able to have success, right? So we got to, it's all a unit thing, right? That's why offense is so,
it's a complex issue.
Yep. It's so complex, right? Because if one part of the offense isn't, you know, doing their job or not able to do the things that they're supposed to be able to do, everything else falls apart. And then it makes it look like the offense, you know, is not working. So
LaShawn Daniels is hot on the mic, baby. Guy can break it down now. And for those listening, I know we've been kind of harping on the O-line issues. Spencer isn't completely out in the clear either. I think we all recognize if Spencer was more mobile, obviously that's what a mobile quarterback offers a football team. If you look at, I mean, I just was watching Justin Fields play this weekend and he gets outside the pocket. He's running side to side on the field. He extends a play, right? Where now, yeah, that defense was in, Kevin knows this, the longer a defense has to stay in that play, the longer that play rolls on, the more those receivers can find the holes and sort of sneak into a place where it's just a broken play, right? And Spencer isn't able to get out there to do that, but that's not something he can change. We can work on we can work on the offensive line getting better and improving, right? We're not going to be able to make Spencer Johnny Manziel. It's just not going to happen. So, and then that's when we get into the whole issue of like, well, let's bring in Deuce. Let's bring in Padilla. We probably, in my opinion, we probably don't want that. But That's another topic for another day. LaShawn, welcome to
Cabin.
Ward's winners with a little sad trombone in there.
Dude, that little touch got me, dude. Don't we have a winning record
That's
now?
That's sick.
We are.
Yeah, we got a winning record now.
We're back to winning. Maybe that sad trombone was for Beef. He's had a couple weeks.
Yeah, Beef's bet of the week isn't doing so well.
Yeah. Beef is Kevin's dad, LaShawn. And we not only put out picks, but he then responds to our picks on Twitter and gives us his Beef bet of the week. That's his nickname. Little bit of a different segment this week. We're not going to each do three picks and have it all worked out. I think Kevin might've been looking at him there as we had that conversation, from what I can tell, but, I was just going to roll through the Big Ten games and see what the lines look like and maybe have a little discussion here at the end of the podcast. The first one that shows up for me is Ohio State, Indiana. Ohio State currently sitting at -19 to -20. What do we think about that, boys?
I think Ohio State's coming off a bye week, and they've been scoring all sorts of points lately.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet on Indiana.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either. No chance.
Okay.
At this point, Indiana's been through a tough enough season.
Yeah.
And they're taking Ohio State off a bye, who's trying to gain momentum to find their way into the Big Ten championship.
True.
So I really don't envy where Indiana's sitting right now.
Bro, nope. They might have one of the hardest schedules of all time.
All time.
Yes.
Yep. Next one on my list is Illinois at Penn State. Penn State -23. I'll take Penn State all day on that one.
Do we have an update on our man, Sean Clifford?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's very important. Because obviously their offense was...
Sean Clifford in the game.
Hot cross bun.
That made Sean our offense look like the Kansas City Chiefs out there.
That boy. Yeah. Sean Clifford's status unclear as Penn State splits quarterback reps for Roberson and Valu. Oh, God. They're even looking at the third string.
No Sean Clifford. I'd lean Illinois. Sean Clifford, hammer Penn State.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah. Next one on the list is Maryland at Minnesota. The Gophers, the Goofers.
Okay. The Goofies.
-5. The PJ Fleckers, -5 over Maryland.
Give me the Gophers.
I'll take Gophers, yeah.
Yeah.
I will too.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Minnesota's been playing much better since that Bowling Green loss, so.
I agree. Yep. I don't know what that was either. How did they lose that one? Wow. Where are we at? We are at, what are we dying about? You guys making gopher faces?
Dude, Kevin's gopher face has got me fucking hooked.
Here's a long time video from YouTube from back in like 2006. Search Happy Mother's Day by Baratz and Beretta. There's an awesome gopher line where the guy makes a gopher face. It's the first video I ever found on YouTube. I laughed my ass off. We've got, I can't even find any more Big Ten teams. Is everybody on bye? Where are we at? Wisconsin at Purdue. Wisconsin sits at -3. Ooh.
Give me Purdue.
Yeah, Wisconsin's offense is terrible.
And Purdue at home.
At home.
That offense is tough to stop.
Yep.
They've got a little juice. They got juice now,
juice.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is – oof. Yeah, I don't.
This one feels like
I think they're still getting favoritism for being Wisconsin and being ranked at the beginning of the year.
The respect of the
of disrespect of the brand. I can see it being a close game. I don't know why they're giving points to Purdue at home. It feels too obvious, but that's got to be Purdue.
Yeah, it feels like a trap. That's the only other game I can find. I think there's only four. I think six.
Northwestern Michigan.
Oh, okay. Northwestern Michigan. I don't see that one. What's the line there?
I got showing -23.5. Northwestern at Michigan.
Okay. Well, Northwestern proved that they were not the bottom of the Big Ten by beating Rutgers last week. So they are 13th. They will be 13th in my power rankings this week that come out on Patreon.
The bottom of the Big Ten is the Hawks if we're playing Purdue.
That's true.
You're not lying there.
If David Bell's lining up against the Hawks, if David Bell's lining up against the Hawks, we're 18th in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I see it being a lot like that Northwestern Nebraska game. I think Michigan kind of runs it all over.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
We'll see. 23.5 is so many points.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
But they are at home. They are at home though, and I think Michigan is good this year. I don't know if they're as quite as good as their ranking shows, but they are really good.
Michigan also coming off a bye.
That's true. Yeah. I'll take Michigan on that one.
You gotta take them over Northwestern just because Northwestern sucks such a fat one this year.
Yeah. I actually think I kind of like the under in that game. It's at 51.
Okay, under on 51. Last thing, LaShawn, as we just mentioned, rankings. Iowa got all the way up to 2, a place that we never saw, even in that magical season. And then obviously fumbled the bag last week. Now they sit at 11. As a former player under KF who knows that rankings don't mean shit, okay? All right. But what do you think about 11th? You think that's fair, too high, too low?
It's fair. I mean, like, when you just look at the performance, right, you had last week, unfortunately, it made it seem like basically what everybody was saying, you know, about us was correct, right? I mean, the defense, like the team, it was predicated on, our success was predicated on, can we get turnovers? Can we keep teams pinned and allow our offense to be able to have a short field and score on a short field? So I feel like it's fair, you know, because to be in that top 10, like you really got to kind of have, like really kind of be on point at all times, right? You got to be able to have a quality offense. You got to have a quality defense. And, you know, being towards the, you know, last place in the Big Ten when it comes to offense isn't really going to cut it. It's not, those aren't top 10 team qualities. But, you know, we're just halfway through the year, right? And a lot of things can change. There's still a lot of football to be had. And, you know, if we take care of business and, you know, we treat every week, right? Like, you know, it's a new week, it's a new team, it's a new opportunity. You know, you'll be able to climb back up, right? And to be in a place where you want to be able to be. But right now, I think it's fair. But again, as you said, right, rankings don't mean anything, right? They don't mean anything until basically December. So, you know, just focus on the team ahead of you, keep playing, focus on doing your job, and, you know, everything else will take care of itself.
There we go. Wise words from the man himself.
Make sure everybody go check out his podcast, because I guarantee you it's pretty damn good. From what he, with the performance that he just put on our podcast, I guarantee you his is killer.
Locked On Hawkeyes. You can hear more of LaShawn. Big boy, thanks for joining the walk-ons for another episode.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure. It's been a blast. I love you guys having me on.
So, well, we're going to have to do this.
We love you too, bro. It's been a freaking big blast.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We're going to have to do this more. Episode 260. Everybody, thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Peace. Honey.